morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our daily program that takes a dive into our challenges as believers, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and I am joined with the head of our Christian school here at Greater Grace World Outreach called Greater Grace Christian Academy, Pastor Barry Quirk. How you doing, Pastor Barry?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Pleasure to be on the show with you on this Friday afternoon scorcher in Baltimore.
Friday, it's going to be 90-plus degrees today. Good day to go to the pool if you got one or a gym that has one.
Correct.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about, speaking of pools, men's desires. We're going to be speaking about cooling off in the hot water. No, we're going to be speaking about men's desires versus the will of God. Is it a dichotomy? Is it one or the other? Or do they mesh in some way? Is there an overlap to what we see in those two ideas or phrases? So to kick things off, I'm going to give it to Pastor Barry because he deals with children's desires every single day. And it's now summertime, and I'm sure he loves to be talking about it now that school's out. So we're going to let Pastor Barry take it away.
Well, the truth of the matter is that people think that summertime is the easiest time of the year for school administrators. But I will tell you that it's actually not the case. The summertime is the busiest time for school administrators, as you, the director of Maryland Bible College and Seminary, know that it takes a lot. There you are representing. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of prep to get ready for the school year so it can go efficiently. But that's not the topic of our program today. So, but I will. I do like this topic because I think people tend to get into one side or the other of this issue and think that it's either, I either have to die to my own desires every single day, which has some definite elements of truth to it. It's either my way or God's way. But I do think that, Psalm 37:4 says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that he'll give us the desires of our heart.
Awesome.
So obviously there is an opportunity to have the desires of our heart. Matt, I guess the bigger question is, what's the motive of your desire? Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
When God says we have not because we ask not, but then also he says, or that you ask amiss. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is definitely an element of, what's the motive of our desires and what are we trying to gain them for? I mean, you and I could probably both enjoy a big luxury sedan. Give us a new
heck yeah. Please give me that leg room.
And we would
please say,
Lord, that's our desire. But if he's,
as we're actively car shopping.
Well, I'm doing the same. So that's a depressing thought. Yeah. The car shopping in this world that we live in today is not fun. So yeah, there's, let's talk about it. If we truly find satisfaction in our value and our worth in Christ, then the scriptures tell us that he'll give us the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
So how do we align with God's mind in those situations? That's a good question.
It's a great question. I think we can get too far ahead of ourselves in this idea, in this concept. A lot of unbelievers, before they come to Christ, use this as an excuse as to why they don't want to believe in Jesus. And is it a surface level excuse? Maybe. But also maybe there's something in their heart that knows that they will start to change. They will be transformed little by little after they put their trust and faith in Christ. So a lot of times we'll just use it as like, it's got to be this way 100%. And none of this whatsoever. It's got to be God's will all the time and none of my own desires and my own will. But that doesn't really line up with what the Bible says. Most of the time, and you alluded to it already, the Bible speaks about our wills like lining up with God's will. Mm-hmm. It's not so much my desire versus God's will as it is my desire is like step by step. Like is this in Psalm 27? Psalm 27 starts out, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then you get down to verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord." Here's man's desire. Here's David's desire. "That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Mm-hmm. You get to later in that psalm, and God's will for David, hey, David, seek my face. And David's will, his response, his desire is, your face, Lord, will I seek. Mm. So there's like a very clear interaction,
yeah,
a real relationship between God's will and men's desires. And we have to talk about that holistically and not just one versus the other.
Right.
Because if we're talking about anything that we do with God, it has to be based off of a relationship with him.
Yeah.
It can't be separated from that.
Yeah, and I would say there are a lot of people who – it's a very polarizing thought, our desires, God's desires. And a lot of people think that you cannot possibly have anything that you desire if you want what God desires. But I think you just said, and we read in the book of Hebrews, that God is a rewarder,
yeah,
of them that diligently seek him. And mm-hmm. he actually wants us to have fulfillment in our hearts and satisfaction. It's just maybe that there's been such a bending of that thought to – you know, a name it and claim it gospel, or
sure,
prosperity gospel, like, you know, that I can have this because I'm God's child, so give it to me, you know, and I mm-hmm. claim it in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was driving around the city last night and I saw this big sign that says, we state that Baltimore City is a holy city. And I'm thinking, like, whoa, you have a walk of faith. That's yes. amazing.
Yeah.
And I get what they're saying. They mm-hmm. want to take a stance against the atmosphere, but first of all, I like that we hear his voice as his sheep, right? In John 10:4.
Yeah.
His sheep know his voice. And mm-hmm. that's important to know, because there are a lot of voices that are trying to get our attention.
Oh, yeah.
And that would make us think that we would be happy if we had this.
Yep.
We would be happy if we did this. And that whole side of things is why it's so confusing. Mm-hmm. Because maybe if I'm listening to a voice that's not God's voice, I think something would be good for me. Mm-hmm. And I love this thought that God is so much smarter than we are. Like, we think we will be satisfied. Yes. If I had that, I would be satisfied. If yeah. I could do this, how many athletes in the world
yeah.
will go into a championship series of some type and win it, and then the end of it feel like, oh, I'm satisfied now, right? No, they can't wait for the next season
exactly.
to start.
Exactly. They're like,
because it's insatiable in your, yes. your, you know, what your desire.
Yes.
But how about when we enter into what's God's mind for my life, and actually understanding that he knows so much more about what would satisfy us. And I think mm-hmm. about this in terms of like who he gives us as a spouse, or mm-hmm. where he puts us in the call of God.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I never woke up one day in my life saying, I am going to be the head of a K-12. As a matter of fact, if you ask my friends in high school, they would say, you're the last guy we thought would be the principal of the school. And we always joke that he put the inmates ahead of the asylum.
Yeah, in charge of the asylum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But how about, God, do what you will with me.
Yes.
According to your will.
Yeah.
And we have satisfaction because of it.
Yeah. So a couple verses came to mind as you were speaking. Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy 6:6. So when we're actually walking with God, like, we're not fighting against him, we're not in our flesh, we're not consumed with our sin, we're, you know, you could list a million different things over here and say this is like hindering our relationship at the moment.
Yeah.
When we are in tune with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, then we have this sense of contentment, this yes. sense of peace that we don't have when we're walking in all those other things. I love the example of sports because I played them all my life.
Yes.
I did two in college, basketball and baseball. Yeah. And I always wanted whatever was next.
Yes.
Hey, we won the division championship. I want us to win the state one. Yeah. We won the regionals. I want to go on to the nationals. Yeah. Like, and then once, say you do accomplish all that, then what's next?
Exactly.
Well, Ecclesiastes 3, we already know this, but most people operating on this side don't know this.
Yeah.
We have eternity in our hearts. We have a chasm so deep, so wide, so unfulfillable by anything of this world mm-hmm. that the moment we place God in it, it's gone.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, yeah. it's a light bulb moment. Yes. It's like, oh, that's what I've been searching for.
Yeah.
That's what I think a lot of times as believers, maybe we're somehow a little scared to say this to people because it's so true. But I remember I was in Malawi on my practicum 2017, Lilongwe, Malawi. We would go out soul winning every day, evangelizing. And there's one gentleman who walked up to me, drunk as a skunk. Like, it's 9 or 10 in the morning. he's getting ready to go do his job, which is driving a minibus, and he is gone. Like he's gone. His eyes are bloodshot. He's gone. Mm. Okay. And I don't know what came over me. I believe it was the boldness of the Holy Spirit. I walked right up to this guy. I put my hand on his chest and I pointed at his heart. I said, "You know what's missing right now? God's missing in your heart." Wow. And he just like froze. He didn't know what to do. But I think if we were bold enough to tell people what's really going on, because the Bible like instructs us, mm-hmm. because it gives us the truth and we can preach it, we can teach it, we can talk to people about it. If we can give them that, then they can go from this place of what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next to, oh, I'm fulfilled.
Yes.
I have what I need.
Yes.
And that ultimately is a believer's desire. I want to be fulfilled.
Yep.
And the only place we get that is when we're in communion with God.
Yeah, and it goes right along with what Isaiah 55:11, 8-9 say, that his thoughts are not always our thoughts. Our ways are not always his ways. Mm-hmm. His ways are so much higher than our ways.
Yep.
That we could think, or we could be fooled into thinking, that there is some satisfaction. And you ask, I remember one of our high school students who was really good at all the three sports, and I would say to him, "What's your favorite sport?" And he'd say, "The one I'm playing now."
Nice.
Because he understood that, you know, where he was in the present is where he had the most potential for satisfaction. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, he couldn't wait for the next one, because sure. he's after the adrenaline, or he's after the notoriety, or whatever it is. And, you know, when they interviewed Tom Brady and they said, "Tom, what was your favorite championship?" And he said, "The next one."
Yep.
He didn't even say the last one. He said the next one, because he's so driven towards it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's to be appreciated. And there was a season when I was a big Tom Brady fan, you know.
Before he betrayed New England?
Actually, I think before there was so much information about what people are like off the field.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Or seeing him stumble through a celebrations. I just feel like there was, there's so much potential for joy and encouragement with young people that could have been better. I'm not bad mouthing Tom. If you're out there listening, I love you, man. You did a great job in New England.
And Jesus loves you.
And Jesus loves you, which is more importantly.
Amen.
But I do think that the fact that we can find out what is God's mind for my life. Now, I asked this question to our high school students. I said, "Can you know the will of God 100% mm-hmm. for your mm-hmm. life?" Mm-hmm. And they go, no, I don't think so. Well, how much of it can you know?
Yeah.
You know, and there isn't a perfect numerical value, but I always fix 75%. I say, you can know 75% of the will of God of your life. Well, how do you know that? Well, you follow the mandates of the scriptures. You study to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not be ashamed. Mm-hmm. You gather in the church, right? Mm-hmm. You don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves, but as the days grow evil, more and more you draw together. You pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
You love your brother above yourself. And if you find yourself occupied with Christ on a regular basis, then that's how you find out what the other 25% of the will of God is. Because I think you're not going to be in a place to hear from God's voice what the perfect will of God is for your life until you're walking with God. And that's really the principle we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Is that you can't know his voice if you're not a sheep.
Right.
Right? You hear something and you go, "That's fanatical."
Yep.
Right? You're on the outside looking in, you go, "Those guys are fanatical.
That's weird.
That's weird. What are they doing with their lives?
They go to church a couple times a week. I'm lucky if I get there once a month."
And I think, like, you know, we have been given the mind of Christ, right? And it's restored what could have otherwise been a bunch of mush and used for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But I think, like, we could take what we know from the gospel and from our upbringing in Christ and go out into the business world or go out into other avenues of life and turn it into money, just because there's such a lack of common sense in the world. Mm-hmm. But also, I find that, well, I never find myself in a place, and maybe this is just a little off the track, but it's saying the same thing, is that I find myself in my office working, and I'm never thinking in terms of how much money could I be making right now? Mm-hmm. What am I missing out on in promotion? Mm-hmm. You know, how could I be making my mark? What is my heritage? I just find myself coming to work and saying, "You know what, Lord, you have given us an incredible heritage. Our lines have fallen in pleasant places. Yeah. You waited daily to load me with your blessings. Yes. I get to impart the wisdom of Christ to people."
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, my hands are in your, my life is in your hands, and I trust where you're going to take me. Mm-hmm. And my parents were in this ministry, worked on staff. You know, it's not like the model of financial efficiency. You know, you don't pass on a mansion working on staff.
Right.
But I will tell you that I would not trade one thing. Their lives with God, what they imparted to me, left me with a rich inheritance.
Yes.
And I watched God bless in areas of my life just because I sat back and trusted him, not because I did anything of my own flesh.
Yeah.
So we know. And, you know, when we look in the eyes of our kids or we see in our spouse or when we had our opportunities to be in the mission field, we sense the presence of God in our lives that we could not trade if we had decided for our own desires to be the case.
So here's something really prevalent in today's society, and maybe just a quick shout out. Hey, if you're following along on YouTube Live or Facebook Live, we appreciate you. Winston, thanks for commenting. Madeline, thanks for commenting. We welcome any comments, any questions about the show and about the subject. We appreciate you guys. Please continue to interact with us. But something super prevalent in society today is what maybe the younger generations would call hustle culture.
Mm-hmm.
Hustle culture. How many side gigs can I pick up? How many little things can I do? There's this phrase called FIRE. I can't remember the exact acronym, but it essentially is about retiring early, like as early as your 30s or 40s, being financially set to retire in your 30s and 40s.
Oops, missed that one.
So here's this idea, hustle culture, where everyone's striving, everyone's moving, everyone's like going from this thing to the next thing to the next thing. And I blame our phones, I blame the TV, I blame technology, how hooked we are on dopamine rushes and how much we actually need, our bodies are addicted to going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next, carrying our phone with us everywhere we go. It's like, I need it. I need this. I need whatever's next. That's one way to live. Right.
Yep.
And then there's 40 years in the backside of the wilderness, like Moses. There's 3 years in Arabia, like Paul. And what are they doing in those scenarios? They are getting to know the sin in themselves, and they're getting to know the goodness of God in those places and the teaching of Christ. Mm. And you see, after all these transformations, you have Joseph going into prison. And then Joseph leading a nation, and it's all like through God's power in his life. What do we see that's different? It's the inclusion of God in the equation.
Yes.
It's not, well, you know, what was Joseph's will in Genesis 37? Hey guys, I have this dream. I'm going to reign over all of you. My whole family's going to bow to me.
Yeah.
And he's like probably saying this innocently. We don't really know, but that was his will by himself. Mm. And then whenever God got included in it, whenever he realized like there was a whole order to this thing called life and God was the orderer of life in general, it just changed his whole perspective. Mm. It changed the way he interacted with people.
Wow.
And so, okay, why do we have this constant need to hustle? It's the same reason we just spoke about, like the hole in our hearts. But if we have God in our lives, we have that relationship. Psalm 23 is one of the most reassuring psalms that we could have about our relationship with God. He is my shepherd, and he wants me to lie down in green pastures.
Yeah.
He wants to lead me beside still waters. He wants to take me to places where like I don't have anything to worry about other than staying in connection with him. Mm. When I'm in the presence of my enemies, he's building a table before me for me to commune with him at.
Yes.
And invite my enemies too to commune with him.
Yeah.
When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff comfort me. Mm. It's all about that relationship.
Wow.
It's like just a crazy difference.
And you know, it's a great thought. I'm getting in touch with my hipster side of me right now. Mm-hmm. I think that the term is financial independence. Retire early.
Oh, where'd you get that?
Well, all right. Thanks to our producer, yeah. Mr. Seb.
Yeah.
But actually, you hit on this, and I love this thought, and it is a lost concept today, but learning how to be quiet before God. If we could teach our people, and really, this is what I in our school, yes, they're going to learn academics. Yes, they're going to learn self-discipline. Yes, they're going to learn how to have a walk with God. But more than anything, I hope that they learn how to close their mouths and open their ears and be still and know that God is God.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have that kind of a relationship with God, mm-hmm. that you can be quiet and hear his voice and yeah. be led by him, you're going to be a person that's satisfied. And also you're going to find out that God is truly a rewarder just yeah. because we are following him so diligently. Mm-hmm. Like, we want what God's mind is. And that hustle culture, yeah, sure, financial independence, retire early. You go like crazy. You go to our coffee shops today, which are – that's a whole scary entity in itself. But you go in there and you see people in their Birkenstocks with their laptop and their, you know, five-day-old beard and just doing their thing.
Hey.
Oh, I got one too. But imagine that. Like, this is what I do, and I don't really do anything other than maneuver, and I'm hustling this and I'm selling that and I'm mm-hmm. working there and I got this commission. And I mean, I've been in that life in a sense. It wasn't quite with this mentality, but where my daily grind came from what I sold.
Yeah.
And I got really sure. good at it because timid salesmen have skinny kids. And but the point is that when you're in that, when you found that in yeah. this world, you know, and how many people are this way that they found their success, they are successful mm-hmm. until something happens. Little right. money, little trouble.
Yeah.
Big money, big trouble. Who yeah. knows what it is, right?
Yeah.
But when we learn how to be quiet with God, when we learn how to be still and know that he's God, and Pastor Shishmanian just said, he shouted out Psalm 46:10, the GGCA motto.
GGCA motto. Yeah.
And really what we're saying in that is that we're not – We are producing people who are successful in their lives,
yeah.
but it's not because we've trained them to be successful.
Right.
And we said this in our eighth grade advancement. Yes. It's because we have trained them how to handle struggle.
Yes.
We have trained them how to be satisfied with God and to be quiet with God in the midst of turmoil. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine in this world that we live in today, and we're bringing up our kids in this world, you mm-hmm. know, my yeah. daughter's old enough that I don't have to bring her up anymore, but – the point is that you specifically with a young child are bringing your kid into this world, and you're going to have to give them – you're equipping them with things that are going to make them successful in life. And without knowing how you do any of that, I promise you that you are teaching them how to hear from God. Mm-hmm. And that's something you're modeling to them.
Right.
You're talking to them in the little capacity that they have, right?
Yeah.
But that is the most important tool you could ever give to them.
Yeah.
Because it's if you can hear from God and you can learn to walk with God, then struggles are just an opportunity to see God deliver us.
Yes.
And they don't become. And somebody was saying to me yesterday that Daniel in the lion's den, right? He had to stay in the lion's den.
Yeah.
It wasn't just pop in and pop out.
No.
The three Hebrew boys, you know.
They were there for a night.
Yeah. And wow. And there. So struggle is something that happens over time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we can still see the hand of God in it and deliver it. And I think that brings us to our next question that got posed to us, and that is, aren't we supposed to die daily? And like, what does that mean? And what does the normal Christian life look like as far as our needs and our wants? And how can we have a good life
Ooh.
If this is what we're talking about?
Ooh. Good question.
Yeah.
Good
question. So what do you think about dying daily, Pastor Matt?
Dying daily. Oh, man. Teeing me up. All right.
Well, we did have a good conversation about it before we went on the air.
We did.
1 Corinthians 15,
that's,
31.
That's where I'm going right yeah. now. I'm going to read it so that I can say, hey, this is what I read out of the Bible. Is this what you read?
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15, 31, Paul is speaking, and let's see. Let's start in verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you look at, okay, verse 34, sorry, one more. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Mm. If you read this phrase, I die daily, in context of what Paul is speaking about, he's not talking about us just throwing away our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our will.
Yeah.
He's not talking about that. He's saying, I am living for the resurrection of the dead. He is actively modeling living in the will of God, like lining his will, his desire, and his life up with the will of God. And he's not doing it in some way that he's saying, oh, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. He's saying, hey, this is a matter of fact. This is my position. I am dying daily. Mm-hmm. I am crucified with Christ. He says in Galatians chapter 2, nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. But that's a matter of position.
Yeah.
That's not a matter of, oh, I got to sacrifice my will here for God's will. Paul is literally saying, I would be miserable. I would be miserable if the resurrection were not real. But I know it's real. Yes. I have seen the resurrected Christ. He has come to me along with 500 plus other witnesses he mentioned earlier in the chapter. And knowing that, I am living my life as if I am going to be resurrected. Mm-hmm. You talked about, you know, working on staff, not gaining mansions in that way. Like,
yeah,
but we gain a mansion in heaven in John chapter 14.
Totally. Far more valuable than the one up the street.
I know. We're walking on streets of gold. In Matthew chapter 6, we're storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven that moth and rust cannot corrupt and that thieves cannot break in and steal. We are building things that go far beyond our understanding. This is why God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. This is why his ways are higher than our ways. Because we're building for a kingdom that is in a place we don't yet understand.
Yes.
But we are going to be so, I don't know what a good word for this, like ravished by, like mm-hmm. we're just going to be consumed by it because it's going to be us in Christ.
Yeah.
It's going to be that relationship that we're dying for.
Yeah. And that's what Abraham left, by the way.
Yeah.
He left a city of comfort and of, you know, he had camels and he had cattle and he had possessions and he left it for a city, you know, that he didn't know. He just knew that the builder and maker was God.
Yes.
And also Mark 8:35 is very clear to us about what shall a man gain if he, if we gain the whole world and we lose our own soul, what have we gained?
Right.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. So, you know, that's why we can say with conviction that, and some people say, yeah, that's a cop out. I'd rather have the mansion over here and you don't even know what you're storing up in heaven. And I say, oh, no, we do know what we're storing up in heaven.
Yeah.
One is temporal and one is eternal.
Yeah.
So I don't have to sacrifice on the offer of the temporal mm-hmm. when I can live in the altar of the eternal. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important distinction to make. And that, you know, I would say that the Apostle Paul in his position, right? Like you said, that's, daily alludes to like every day that I live my life with the crucifixion of Christ before me.
Yeah.
Of course I'm dying
because
I'm not going to put something that has no value, right? Like we have a shadow of good things to come.
Yep.
But now in Christ, we have the very image of those mm-hmm. good things to come. And because of that, because we have that very image, we have a different lifespan, a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
What we count as important is not the same as what the guy in the world counts as important.
Right.
It's not important that we have that lifestyle. What's important is that we have Christ's mind because he knows so much better than what we could ever even imagine.
Yeah.
What is good for us.
Yeah.
You know, what is valuable. And I like this, that point, that, you know, if you were to say that, oh, by the way, I would say that the Apostle Paul is alluding to another important portion, and that's in Luke 9:23,
okay,
echoing something that Jesus says,
yes,
and that is, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself mm-hmm. and take up his cross daily and follow me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
When I look at that portion, I would say the things that I could hold on to in my life that would keep me from experiencing what Christ's mind is for my life are innumerable. Like we could just say there are so many things that I could substitute for the walk of God.
Yeah.
But is that what I want to do in my daily life? Is that where I want to walk my walk? Is that where I want to live my life?
Right.
No, I want to walk with Christ.
Yes.
Because there is such a far more eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
than happens with this life that I could preserve for myself. So I would much rather give up my life daily and say, I can make, now, when I'm in Christ, that thing which I unified, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. with the mind of Christ, mm-hmm. I can uphold that all day long. I don't have to give up on the things that God gives me as a promise.
Right.
Have at it.
Yeah.
and expect that God wants to bless us because he does.
Well, we had someone write in about Matthew 6:33. And what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
yeah,
and all these things will be added unto you. So you go backwards in that chapter, and you start maybe in verse 25, and it's talking about all the things we worry about, all the things that we have needs for, all the things that we like have natural cares for, but actually are maybe necessary for our survival. And what does God say?
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's a really healthy tip for self-denial. We always talk about deny yourself in some hard way. We always make it like, you know, that good thing that you want, you got to deny yourself. Well, how about all those bad thoughts that you have on a regular basis? Yeah. How about you deny yourself from those bad thoughts? When you wake up in the morning and you're feeling convicted about something in your life or guilty or feeling shame or like you can't believe what just happened the day before, yeah, or the mess you got yourself in or whatever the case may be. How about denying those thoughts and receiving the mercies of God new every morning?
Yes.
What, like, yep, is that a hard thing? Is that really difficult? Would you rather wallow in your self-pity, or would you rather be forgiven and move on and take a step forward with Christ, confessing your sins, known or unknown, and letting him cleanse you of all unrighteousness in 1 John 1:9?
Yeah. It's easy to see that the point that, you know, if it benefits me, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
If it costs me something, I don't know how much I'm for it.
Sure.
But again, that's what value system are we living in?
Yes.
If we're living in the eternal value system, then it doesn't really gain me anything to preserve those thoughts.
Right.
Right. And I would say dying before, and I love this thought of being bankrupt at Calvary. Right.
Yeah.
And I think about that thought meaning more than just financially bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But how about just being transparent before God and saying, there's nothing, everything that I have to offer you falls short of the glory of God,
yeah,
right? There's nothing that I can do. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everything that I could offer to you is as filthy rags.
Sure. Yep.
But couldn't I come with a measure of faith, right? Couldn't I come with a belief that, and I like to think about faith as believing God at his own word.
Yes.
Right? So when God makes a promise, I can say, I believe God at his word. I believe that God's mind for me is true. And I believe that when he says, you know, to David, you're the apple of my eye, that he means it.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute. Don't you remember what David and Bathsheba and Nathan and all these things, and
right,
the baby and all that? Yeah, you're the apple of my eye.
Yeah.
Because God's mindset for our lives is totally different than our mindset for our lives. We're keeping score.
Yes.
You know, he says,
always.
And even where in Amos where he says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're walking together in agreement, it doesn't mean like we say, okay, I want to do this. Do you agree with me? Or you want to do this. Okay, well, we did it my way last time. Let's do it your way this time. All that is keeping score.
Right.
I don't know what's right. You don't know what's right. Let's together go get God's mind for this situation, and then we'll be agreed because we'll both have God's mind for the situation. And how about deferring that? Like saying, I don't want my thoughts to be, you know, a proud man thinks of himself all the time, right?
Yeah.
A humble man, we could say humility is not thinking too highly of yourself, but it's also not thinking too lowly of yourself.
Yeah.
It's just not thinking of yourself.
In general, right.
So let's find what God's mind is for ourselves and not worry about pride or humility. You know, it is humility to think that way, but we're not putting ourselves on a pedestal. And let's be honest, if we were to say man's desires are what's important, the Bible would be written with a whole different bent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We wouldn't have the depravity of man.
Right.
We wouldn't have the mercy of God towards man because we fail every day. You know, we read in Lamentations, his mercies are brand new every single day.
Yes.
What it could say is your failures are miserable every single day, but my mercy, you're going to lay down in my mercy.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So we got a few other comments that came in. Elizabeth, as I put my little faith in his faith, this is very valuable, precious to me. His faith means so much to me. And then again, in my messes, as it is precious in my messes as a believer, when I don't fail to follow his faith, I am sure he will show up. Just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. Yeah, when we what does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 2, when we have no faith, he remains faithful.
Yeah.
Right? Like he can't change himself. He's not. So here's one of the verses, like one of the clear-cut verses in the Bible that say, this is the will of God. There's only like two of them in the entire Bible. Mm-hmm. This is the will of God. And one of them is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it says, give thanks in all things,
yeah,
for this is the will of God. Is that difficult? Is that hard? Maybe I'm like, you know, beating the same drum over and over again, but I want to make this so that there's not such a huge chasm between these two ideas.
Yeah.
My will, if I could like learn what God means to when he says give thanks, like Jesus to the Pharisees, what does he say to them? He says, do you not know that mercy will reign over judgment?
Mm.
Go and learn what this means. Yeah. Mercy will reign over judgment. Mm. Like if I'm a Pharisee and all I want to do is judge this person for that sin and judge them for not wearing this the right way and judge them for being unclean in this way, like I mean, in my heart of hearts, I want to forget that mode of thinking. I want to learn what God is meaning when he says mercy will reign over judgment.
Yeah.
So if I am not thankful for anything in my life, and this is the will of God that I could give thanks in all for all things, like I just want to take a step back and think, maybe there's some value to that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a real message there that can change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think when we talk about the will of God, this is really what we're talking about. We're talking about learning what God says and that he means it when he says it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we are the apple of his eye. Like he says it about David, but he also says it in the Old Testament about Israel. And it's also repeated in the New Testament. I can't remember where, mm-hmm. but like we're the apple of his eye.
Yes.
If we could cope with that, if we could account that to ourselves, like we would have a totally different perspective on my will versus God's will.
Mm.
And then also just say one more thing, he will always, always, always use our will to show us his.
Hmm.
Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his way. My desires, my plans, my life, my will. Man's heart devises his way. This is the path I'm going in. This is what I'm going to decide to do. But do you know who's going to show up every single time in the middle of your plan, in the middle of your path? It's the Lord. It says, but the Lord will direct his steps.
Yes.
Like how stubborn was Balaam? How stubborn was Balaam? And the Lord used a donkey to interrupt his steps and say, hey, you keep going, you're going to die. As stubborn as he was, push donkey, keep going, keep going, keep going. The donkey finally, through God's power, speaks to Balaam and says, do you not see the angel of death that's waiting for you to take a few more steps?
Wow.
It's like, I want that God in my life. I want that person leading and directing me. And I'm so thankful that he allows us to use our wills to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like we use our wills to get to where God can speak to us and teach us and humble us.
Yeah. And he uses the most stubborn animal probably out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like, let me use a model of stubbornness to yes. show you how stubborn you are.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a huge thing. He desires that we would be led in his way,
mm-hmm.
right? That's an amazing thing, and that's in Psalm 143:10. I was also thinking of Proverbs 19:21.
Yes.
Which says, there's many plans in a man's heart, but yep. it's the Lord's purpose that shall stand.
Always.
So we could have plans till the cows come home,
mm-hmm.
but it's really God's mind that's going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
So am I better served coming up with better plans, or am I better served understanding what the mind of God is for the situation or mm-hmm. the plan of God is for the situation. And it's an easy thing for us to do is to put our desires on top and to say, God, you need to give me this desire. Some of the best prayers we've ever prayed or the best outcomes of prayers that we've ever prayed are the ones that God says, I'm not answering that one
mm-hmm.
this way. I mean, he answers it. He says yes, no, yeah. or not now. And why does he want to delay the answer to our prayers, or why does he want to delay us having our desires met? Because his ways are so far above our ways that if he gave us what we wanted all the time, we would be left so short-handed and so short-sighted that we wouldn't even be able to see the deliverance of God. We'd be stuck in some little, you know, we ask him for something and then he gives it to us and then we resent the day that he gave it to us.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not lined up with his will at all. We're not thinking about what what God's mind is the situation.
Yeah.
We're just thinking about what my mind is in the situation.
Yeah.
And that's going to leave us very empty and very dissatisfied. Whereas the thing I love about the life of a believer is it's very simple. It doesn't matter if I meet a believer who is, you know, loaded to the gills financially or has every imaginable thing that you could want.
Yeah.
If they don't have Christ, they don't have anything.
Right.
And if I'm empty, you know, Mother Teresa, you could meet her and find Christ.
Yes.
And what she has is the same that the rich person has if he has his life hid in Christ, is a future that's being stored up for him that is so far above anything that we could ever imagine here on earth. And this is a beautiful way to walk in our lives. And that's why I do have a conviction that the Bible school, the high school, the day school, just the things that we're doing, the learning center, we are putting people, we're training students up in the way they should go in their futures. And we are telling people, learn to find God's mouth. Like, learn to find, let your ear hear what God has to say in your life. It's going to be so valuable to you.
Yeah.
Not go out and hustle as fast as you can, mm-hmm. you know, and make an income so that you can retire early.
Yeah.
And we have,
cause then what?
Yeah. And also sometimes maybe we even say, look, I'm going to do that just so that I can spend the last 30 years of my life serving the Lord in some unimaginable capacity. But how about when we get all that, those things? And mm-hmm. then, you know, I always say, oh, I wouldn't mind being entrusted with the test of, you know, of wealth. And God says, yeah. As soon as you got in that, you would be stuck. Yes. You know, you would say, oh, I don't really have a need
for
anything anymore.
You would never see a way out of it. Yeah.
And the reason that those guys that we're talking about who are the world-class athletes that are like hungry for another championship mm-hmm. is that they have a hunger for it, you know? And when we're fat, dumb, and happy, you know, and I qualify for a few of those areas, we could literally be sitting here saying, I don't need anything.
Yeah.
I'm good. You know, I'm good. And then God says, okay, but what about your daily bread?
Yeah.
Do you have your daily bread?
Right.
Well, I don't need that. I got manna stored up, mm-hmm. you know, and just saying, well, that's not going to deliver anybody out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to deliver anybody out of the lion's den.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the jawbone of the ass that's used,
right.
you know, to fight the enemies of the Lord. That's not one of those smooth stones. I love the fact that Nehemiah, when he raised up the vision and he had his people with him, he had a mind to work.
Yeah.
But he was also, you know, he knew that there was for a purpose that was greater than that specific work.
Yes.
And looking for his enemies and working at the same time, the sword and the trowel.
Yep.
But the whole thing, because God's city needed to be restored, not because he wanted to be promoted mm-hmm. or that he wanted his plan recognized,
yeah.
but because this is who God's called me to be. So I would say, what can we encourage our, you know, and to summarize this, what can we encourage our believers? Yeah, Madeline Johnson just said it. It is well with my soul.
Yeah.
Imagine the wealth of that statement. Can we just think about that for a minute? It is well with my soul.
Yeah.
Can we, in our deathbeds, say, it is well with my soul? Or do we regret that I didn't win that championship? I didn't get that car. I didn't get to go to that place. There's so many things I wanted to do on my bucket list. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And that is such a beautiful thought, that we could be led all different directions in our own stubbornness.
Yeah.
But can we do the one thing that is the most important, and that is hear the voice of God, be directed in his way? We have salvation. You know, if we are a believer in Christ, we have salvation. Imagine just getting saved and then having it just be put on the shelf, right?
Yeah.
Not what we're interested in. We want salvation, and then we want to be led in the way. We want his purposes to stand. We want what we leave for our kids to be a heritage of how to walk with God. That's the richest thing we could ever give to them.
Yeah. We have, like, if you're a new believer and you don't know this yet, like, this is a great encouragement. You have a call from God mm. on your life. Mm. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You're a believer for a long time. guess what? You still have a calling. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He does not change his mind. He does not take it back. He does not say, if you spent 30 years wasting your life and doing this other thing, that you are done with him. He says, hey, I still have a calling for you. I still have a purpose. And I know that if you start to like transform your mind through my word, through gathering together with believers, through all these little things that add up and make a big difference, that his purpose will fulfill you in your life. Mm. You know what happens? We ask. And finally, God says, all right, I'm going to give it to you. But then it says, this is in one of the Psalms, it's speaking about Israel in the wilderness. But then he sends leanness into your soul with the request that you think is going to fulfill you.
Yes.
And when he does that, it's like God saying, here it is, but here I am, and I'm still waiting for you, and I'm still waiting to be gracious, and I'm still waiting to fulfill all of your needs. And let's go back to Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
And that is where you can rest for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And beautiful to think that in being still and knowing that I'm God does not mean that we don't occupy till he comes, right?
Right.
It's not a passive, just be still. It's like, let your own thoughts about what can save you, right? And we're not talking about eternal damnation, salvation.
Right.
But we're talking about what can make me happy, what can give me joy, what can keep me, what can... the only thing that can give us true peace is living in the peace of God. You know, I'm looking for peace, so I'm looking for comfort. I'm looking for... Well, then you got to know the God of all peace. You got to know the God of all comfort. Amen. You got to know the God of all joy. And that's really what we're saying today, is that on the daily, we are dying to that little voice that says, promote yourself. Mm-hmm. You deserve something. Mm-hmm. You should have this. You need recognition. All the things that would drag us away from God and say, nope, I'm going to find my place at the feet of the Lord and let him exalt me. And that's his way.
And you have all of that at the feet of God.
Like, absolutely.
That's the needful thing that Mary did. She rested at his feet.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We appreciate you following along. All the comments, Aretto, Winston, Elizabeth, thank you guys. Pastor Ara, thank you for commenting. And don't forget, if you haven't already, hit that like button on YouTube or Facebook. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified anytime we come on. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us next week as we dive into a brand new topic. Thanks for being with us today.